fact of the matter is that this was a shock to a lot of people because we were not in a position to share or explain as we normally would. And that was really a result of the commitment we had made to maintaining confidentiality through the end.
That's PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan weighing in on some stunning news in the world of golf. Pardon me. It has kind of all the players abuzz as they're in Toronto at this moment ahead of the RBC Canadian Open. The PGA Tour has merged with its rival, LIV or LIV Golf. And to help us understand exactly why that is such a big deal and so controversial, Declan Hill is here, an investigative academic and journalist. He specializes in the study of organized crime and corruption in sports. He's also a professor of investigations at the University of New Haven. Hi there. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Vashi.
Really appreciate you making the time. Why was this so stunning?
Well, first of all, that quote had me almost falling out of my chair with laughter. Of course the PGA wants to keep their negotiations confidential, because literally these guys were like blood feud enemies until 12 hours ago. They were attacking each other in court. There was all kinds of declarations. An article in the New York Times today about how they had been linked, that is, the Saudi-backed guys had been linked with 9/11 through the PGA. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And then suddenly they're kissing and making up in public. So no wonder they won't want to discuss these details in public. This is massive. It's massively controversial. The Saudi government is a human rights wart on the face of international politics. They are absolutely appalling. And they're using sport as a way of covering up their human rights atrocities.
So help us understand a little bit about why that is the case. I don't cover golf, but I do cover politics. And I'm very familiar with the Saudi record on human rights. It's one of the absolute worst in the world. How is the PGA justifying essentially accepting, you know, what lots of critics of the Saudi regime would call blood money?
Well, they're not. That's what you heard in that quote. They're like, Good point. We can't talk about it. It's all confidential. But we've suddenly decided that we're going to accept a lot of money from the Saudis. And look, the Saudi Arabian regime, not the people, but the regime, is like something out of a science fiction book. Mm-hmm. You know, it was until last year, it was illegal for women to drive there. There have been people who are jailed for over 30 years and whipped publicly for their tweets. And tweets, you know, asking for human rights. There's a near genocidal war in Yemen, the country beside it. And what the Saudi regime has decided to do is a very deliberate system campaign to use international sports to deflect attention away from their abuses. They've moved in. One of the top soccer players in the world is a guy who used to play for Real Madrid until a few days ago. Real Madrid is the top soccer sports club in the world. And so the Saudi Arabians have bought him, and they're bringing him over to Saudi Arabia. They're doing that with boxing. Now, obviously, they're doing that with golf. And they're using sport as a kind of a puppet theater way of disguising and deflecting attention away from their human rights abuses.
And what kind of pressure does it put on the players? I sort of was trying to glean who's saying what. And honestly, it's sort of the same as Monahan. They're not saying a lot.
Well, look, I mean, this is a slap in the face. There was a whole bunch of stuff that was last year. I was on your program last year. I was talking about this. And a whole bunch of, you know, traditional PGA golfers said, hey, we're not going. We're not going to do this. You know, we believe in golf as a traditional. We believe in golf as a family entertainment. And we're not taking the cash for LIV, which is the Saudi Arabian-backed, you know, new league. All those players have just been metaphorically slapped in the face. Like, hey, guys, thanks for sticking around, but we're going to take the cash, we being the league. So I think the PGA has got to face some really hard questions about this. Really look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, what are we turning golf into? Is this a sport of gentlemen? Is this a sport of chivalry and courtesy and family entertainment? Or are we simply taking, as the human rights critics have said, blood money?
Was there a big need for this? Like, was there a financial issues at the PGA that they need this backing, that they need this merger?
Absolutely
in the money?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Look, the PGA is one of the richest sports organizations in the world. It's followed around the world. really the Saudis needed the PGA people, not the PGA people needed the Saudi. And that's the thing that really gets to me. This is a repeat, really, the controversy around the Qatar World Cup of soccer, which happened last year in November and December. FIFA and international soccer doesn't need these human rights challenged regimes. It doesn't need to sign deals with these people. And international sports really need to go, hey, look, we're in the driver's seat. We don't need this cash.
Is the deal done? Like, is there any, you know, if the backlash is great enough, if the reaction from the players is great enough, or, you know, can something change, or is this pretty much over?
I think it's done, and you can see our colleagues in the sports media are sadly, you know, kind of falling in line, this kind of cheerleading that most, there are some exceptions, but most sports journalists fall into, where they're more interested in somebody's handicap in the, the latest tournament, as opposed to human rights issues. And I think that's a huge blow, because when you dance with the devil, there's going to be a price. Everything seems fine at first, but there will be a price.
Is there anyone in the world of golf who could say something about this that would be impactful?
Look, I think it really needs to come from the senior golfers, the guys that maybe have retired, who have got the moral authority to say, you know, do we really want our professional sports going this way? Because one of the things in that, oh, we're not going to talk about the negotiations, confidentiality, which PGA is doing, is like, okay, you've signed a deal in, you know, metaphorically with the devil, all these human rights issues. Where are those human rights? You know, by linking PGA with the Saudi regime, have you guaranteed, for example, women's presence in international golf tournaments there? Have you guaranteed that the people constructing the golf circuit are not treated as modern day slaves, which is what happened in the Qatar World Cup? Where are the human rights, on that agenda? And if they'd been there, if they'd been seriously negotiated, we would be hearing about them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know you pointed a little bit earlier to the Saudis trying to get in on multiple levels of different sports. Is there anything you're watching for now that they've clinched this deal as to like what might come next?
Yeah, I think they're clearly trying to get the 2030 World Cup of soccer. And it's really difficult to overstate how politically influential Qatar, they're one of their rivals in the Gulf, have become because of their hosting the World Cup. They signed deals with NATO. They were, you know, sharing all kinds of espionage stuff. So these kind of deals really into your wheelhouse. They're really political deals. We talk about them as sports deals, but they're really about the politics, and they're really the sign that the ruling clique, the MBS guys in Saudi Arabia, are really driving in a new way.
Do you think, just final question for you, Declan, on that very point,
please,
do you think the politics of this, and by that I mean the fact that, for example, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is right now, this morning I believe, having met with Prince Bin Salman, or that a country like Canada, which broke off relations, diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia, has just recently restarted them. Do you think this climate of kind of, well, Khashoggi's over, so we're going to try and move on and start conversations again, has created a backdrop against which the kinds of things like this announcement are made more possible?
Absolutely. And look, the greater point for us and all our listeners, as you and I have talked about in the past, is that sports, you know, sports tends to be marginalized, talked about in some kind of like, oh, it's an innocent garden where children and values are kept. But sports is right in the way. It's in the trigger hair of these human rights challenge regimes, be it Putin's Russia, be it communist China with all their Olympic hosting, be it the Saudis or the Qataris or the UAE and all these places. It's not a side issue. When the Saudis put a blockade of Qatar a few years ago, the Qataris immediately bought the most expensive soccer player in the world to their team owned in Paris. And the French president was on a plane within 2 weeks flying to Saudi Arabia to negotiate the end of the blockade. Mm-hmm. So there are military and political ramifications to these, quote, sports deals that are almost impossible to overstate.
Declan, appreciate your analysis so much. Thank you so much. Declan Hill, an investigative academic and journalist.